A Canadian once said to me, "Why do you call movies shows? They're films. They're not shows. A show is like you go to a Broadway show." And I said, "You have a pretty good point."
Those Canadians, they can sometimes say very, very profound things. Coming up on the Rise and Shout podcast, episode 181, Jerem Jordan of BYU Sports Nation joins us to talk about some key takeaways from spring football and also the chances of BYU making a move to a Power 5 conference in the next few years. We also talk about a couple of movies we're looking forward to as the summer movie season heats up. Matt and I then also talk about spring football and some of our takeaways, and we also preview the Major League Baseball season. Again, this is the Rise and Shout podcast. Check us out on iTunes and check us out on Twitter at BYU_RiseShout. And of course, listen to us right now. Welcoming back to the Rise and Shout podcast, fellow geek, Jerem Jordan. Welcome back.
Adam, it's always awesome to be on the Rise and Shout podcast.
It's true. It's true. I get to be on it every week. You get to be on it like once a month or every 5 weeks. So that's not.
What a privilege.
Yes, it's true. It's true. You should be thanking your lucky stars. I believe we launched your career, actually. I take credit for
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
With
something like that, yeah.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, yes. Something similar to that.
I'm just happy that you said I have a career.
Have a career. It's actually true. We're going to get to that in a tweet bag question here in a minute. But let's start off with something more important than that, than your career, which is movies. So,
yes.
Like myself,
it's that time, it's heating up.
Yeah, it's heating up. We're getting to the big movie season is coming. So I'm going to throw a little question at you. We'll take Avengers out of the question because it's a few weeks away, and I know both of us will be there opening weekend. I assume you'll be there opening weekend.
Oh yeah, at least twice.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure I'm taking my 8-year-old, which my wife is still split, but we've been watching all the Avengers movies leading up to doing that. Yes.
There's a cartoon as well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the
my cartoon, wife and I actually watched that cartoon.
Yeah, the cartoon is quite good, actually. So we'll take Avengers off the table. Let's say somebody comes to you and says, you can only watch two other movies in the theater this year. What are you picking?
Star Wars is an easy pick. That's the one seat. I'll leave that out just for the sake of whatever.
All right.
J.J. Abrams, we trust.
Yes.
You know, I trust him. If Cloverfield's the worst thing he's done, he's still doing decent.
Yes.
I'll go Spectre in November.
Spectre, okay.
The
007 nice.
James Bond.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. The trailer the looks next quite one, spectacular for Spectre.
Oh, yeah.
It's very, very good.
They've been really good.
Yes.
With Daniel Craig. I've loved
yes.
it. Then I'm kind of torn. Jurassic World, I don't want him to mess it up. I like Chris Pratt, especially after Guardians of the Galaxy, but I'm a little scared based on the trailer.
Yes, same here.
Jurassic Park 3 was a nightmare. I liked Lost World. Jurassic Park is a classic. So it's like, please just have some semblance of integrity to the series.
Yes, just be good.
Ant-Man, yes. Ant-Man, I think, is sneaky.
Yes.
Paul Rudd figures into the Marvel world somehow. Maybe that one. Inside Out is Pixar. I love Pixar.
Yes.
It looks like it's catered to children, but they never actually are all the way. Yeah, that sticks out. The one that I just saw one over the weekend, not everyone's into them, but Fast and the Furious 7 was actually a lot of fun. I thought that was pretty fun.
I have never actually seen one. I think I need to go. I've heard there's a couple to skip, including the one that's based in Tokyo, but...
Yeah, that's the worst one.
Yeah, so I need to go back and watch those. I've been meaning to do it. I subject my wife to so many action movies that at some point I have to cut my losses and either watch it on a business trip or some other time. Because, you know, when I've tried to get her like, hey, let's rent Fast and the Furious. And she just looks at me like, so what is it about? Cars? Guns.
Yeah, instead of rent with your wife movie.
And explosions. And somehow that doesn't work.
It's made for men.
I will give you another sleeper that I think could be awesome or it could be absolutely terrible, which is Terminator Genesis.
Yes, I'm a little scared of that one. I'm not Terminator Salvation was good, but it wasn't, you know, one or two good.
You know, seeing an old Arnie run around saying his lines, that's not exciting, but to breathe some life into a franchise that I mean, I like the Terminator stuff, so
yeah, Skynet for life.
Yes. And then I'm with you on Ant-Man. It could be like Guardians of the Galaxy was, which is, you know, now no one's really talking about it except for big-time geeks, and by the end of the summer, everybody may be talking about it. Yeah. And then what do you think of the Mad Max trailers? Do you think this that looks like it could be good, or is just going to be some bizarre, you know, post-apocalyptic show that, again, that's not one my wife will ever want to see?
It looks weird. I started, but I haven't finished the original Mad Max, Mel Gibson from, I don't know, it's like the 80s or something.
Yeah. And it's also weird.
It is weird, man.
Yeah, those movies are not.
It's super weird. I haven't finished it for a reason.
Yeah. I started Snowpiercer on a plane. That's another one where it just got so
weird. Snowpiercer. My wife watched that one.
I sat there. I was like about halfway through, and I'm just like, you know, I think I'm going to watch something else. So I just moved. It was. But good choices. I like Spectre. I like Ant-Man. I like, and you kind of hedged and gave like four choices, but I like them.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the second choice is. I don't know.
Yeah, Spectre.
What I'm looking forward to, Jurassic World. You know, Spectre for sure, and then
yeah.
Jurassic World is probably the one I'm most interested in actually seeing and hoping to enjoy the most.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's move on from that important stuff to other important stuff, which is spring football. Jerem, so we got a couple of tweet bag questions for you. One of them is from at Justin D. Sweeney on Twitter. I know he's
a regular.
He's a regular here, and I know he's a regular on your. Don't you guys have a show or something that you and Spencer do?
Yeah, we have a program.
Yeah, program might be on.
We went from team to program at some point. I don't know how that happened.
Yes, I like that. Well, I no longer I call ours a show now, not a podcast. I don't know why. I just have started switching to show.
A Canadian once said to me, "Why do you call movies shows? They're films. They're not shows. A show is like you go to a Broadway show." Oh. And I said, "You have a pretty good point."
Those Canadians, they can sometimes say very, very profound things. anyway, there's Canada jokes in there, but I won't make them. So Justin asks, "Spring dilemma." O dominating D equals super excited about powerful 2015 O, or very nervous about suspect D. So are you on the side of more excited about the offense than you are worried about the defense, split down the middle, or is the defense scaring the heck out of you?
I think that based on who's coming back with the offense, that people generally are pretty excited about the offense. One, that Taysom Hill is healthy,
yeah,
and if he is healthy, BYU is capable of winning any game they're in. I think that's how I feel. I think that's how BYU fans feel.
Yeah.
BYU jumps out to a 4-0. They're the darlings of you know, college football underdogs at that point, and then it gets hurt, and then crap hits the fan. Jordan Leslie, Devin Mahina, Paul Asike, those are your real influential offensive players who are gone. Ross Alpo does not count. He had one catch. I think that BYU brings back enough guys and makes the jump on offense to continue to be a top 25 team. I think they're a top 20 offensive team going into the year. So that was kind of assumed for me. Spring ball wasn't going to do anything for me either way on that. Yet Mitch Matthews had a great spring. He looks like he's going to be really good this fall. The defense did stick out, though. One, because you had some of your key guys, mainly linebackers, Longy, Bikula, among others, that were not involved for whatever reason. We don't know the exact reasons. We could guess. It doesn't matter. They weren't there.
Right.
So they didn't develop as much. They didn't, you know, establish their spot as much. I think those are your starters, two of the starters at linebacker. And it's really important because that defense is kind of young. Bronco Mendenhall was on the show last week, and he called the secondary the most volatile position. And then he said defensive line least, and then linebackers. The secondary is an issue. It really is. Jordan Prater and Michael Davis are good players, but they weren't out there for a ton of spring. And then at safety, Kai Nakua is the most experienced guy. He got thrown into the mix due to injury. I think, showed enough for fans to be confident in his ability to make the plays. But then who's the other guy? There are Takanaka, Badger. You got a bunch of guys in the mix. Who's going to be the guys in the secondary that are going to make plays? Who are the backup cornerbacks that will likely be called upon? Who's the nickelback? There's some serious questions there, but the good news is that I think people trust that if Bronco is the defensive coordinator, that he will maximize the abilities of that defense.
Yeah, yeah. And that's probably the thing that's keeping people from complete panic mode, right?
Is sure.
Bronco is trusted, even among those that may not be big fans of him as a head coach, they trust his ability to run a defense. So
yeah, BYU's had less talented secondaries that have been really good. I mean, guys that stick out like Corby Hotchkiss and even Corby Eason and Dustin Gabriel and David Tafuna. These guys that they weren't all conference kind of guys, but under that Bronco defense could produce something. I think that we're going to have a similar situation this year where, yes, some of these guys, like if Austin Heater plays a bunch, this guy is a Cameron Jensen type. He's not, I don't think he's that good, but a type in that, okay, Bronco, where should I be? I'm going to be there and I'm going to have great effort. And because of that, we're going to be good enough on defense.
Yeah, and something else that's, I don't know, it's stuck in my head. A colleague of yours, Lauren Frankham, tweeted out, I guess this was almost 2 weeks ago, about a comment that Badger made about last year's secondary not buying into the system, gave the whole unit a bad rep. Seems like guys are buying in this year. I asked her to clarify if she was talking about scheme or players, and she said that Badger was definitely talking about players. Do you think last year there maybe was a problem with that unit? I mean, I always thought they were getting torched because there was no pass rush for most of the season. Do you think there were bigger problems Badger points out that are kind of hard to see on TV because you don't see the defensive backs until the ball's either over their heads or something like that. Do you think there was something wrong with the players, or do you think that's just Badger, spring talking up himself and the other guys that are here?
Yeah, Badger was spot on. Bronco also mentioned on our show about, hey, last year, that team, I'm paraphrasing as close to the quote as possible, but the last year's team set a mark of not being mature enough, disciplined enough, enough chemistry were kind of the words that he used. And so he, like Chris Badger, called out last year's team. And I know that there were certain individuals on that team that did not help the chemistry, that off the field had issues, that on the field were not disciplined in Broncos defense, yet were talented enough to be on the field. So BYU had that situation, that did not respect Nick Howell enough as a defensive coordinator. So Bronco has inserted himself to make sure that there is discipline on and off the field, and that he can be in those position meetings, lend experience, lend coaching, but also lend an authority figure so that this defense is what it needs to be. He handed the keys to Nick Howell, and unfortunately the response from certain individuals on the defense was not what it needed to be, and it cost the entire team. So
yeah.
Bronco has taken back the defense to do what he needs to do with it, and he's one of the best defensive coordinators in America. If BYU is not good on defense this year in some way, I will be shocked.
Yeah, yeah, that's very fair. So I'm going to totally switch gears here, going back to a Twitter question. Tweet bag from Justin Whiting, JN Whiting on Twitter. He would love to hear us talk about the reality of BYU being top three or four in a Power 5 conference. He mentions that he likes independence. So it's coming up again this week, and I know you guys talked about it on your show, so at the risk of repeating some of you guys' content from this week, it comes up because the NCAA may not require to have 12 teams to have a conference championship game. My reaction to this news, Jerem, is it's not news. I thought all along if the Big 12 pushed, the other conferences would let them have a conference championship game.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure they even want one, But to me, this is non-news and doesn't really affect BYU this much. I know you guys talked about it a lot. To answer Justin's question, and then we'll get to the second part about that news, what's the reality of BYU being in one of these Power Five conferences in the next 3 to 4 years?
3 or 4, almost impossible, yeah. Because I don't think that any of the TV contracts, I could be wrong, are up before then, and that's really going to dictate.
Yeah.
When, there you go. That's when expansion happens. Brett McMurphy of ESPN has told us he thinks in 10 or 11 years there might be movement. That's when the next conference expansion would happen. I'm not sure BYU ever gets into any Power 5 conference. BYU is, it's such a unique place because, like Mormons, they, you know, left. We're going to go to Mexico if we can do what we need to do to have the freedom of religion. BYU said, you know what, we need to be independent. And so in independence, BYU's got it good. It's better than being in the Mountain West in a lot of ways. If you want a conference contact, it's terrible. Because once you lose a game, what now?
Yeah.
But being on ESPN, the fan base gets it. We know all the benefits. A Power 5 conference, let's just look at it. Is BYU going to be in the Pac-12 ever? They don't want a religious school.
No.
I've heard from a source. It's not necessarily that it's Mormons, although I'm not exactly sure if that's true. But that they don't want a religious school in there, okay? So if it's not the Pac-12, and hopefully at some point they would just acquiesce and say, you know what, Boise State, BYU, football only, whatever. We need to do this later. We're going to make a desperation move. We're going to do it. That would be my hope. It'd be the Big 12. Sunday play. They don't need anyone to split the pie with. BYU wants its ESPN contract to continue. BYU wants BYU TV's heavy involvement. These are needy, really high-maintenance things for a team who should be at the whim and call of another conference. I just don't see it happening, maybe ever. I think that BYU will make the best decision for BYU, and that might be, you know what? If invited, are we willing to give up XYZ? Are we willing to give up any of this for that experience just so we can be on the super in crowd, even though we feel like we're kind of on the in crowd right now. I don't know. It's tricky business.
Yeah.
Does BYU have to get in the Power 5? We don't, as of now, know. That the line has not been drawn in the sand. In 20 years, who knows?
Yeah, and that's the thing, Jerem, is that, you know, 18 months ago, we were all freaked out that, I shouldn't say we were all freaked out, but it seemed like it was a possibility that the Power 5 would potentially create their own division, right? And that was...
That's scary.
To anybody that's on the outside. Us, Boise, you know, some of the quality programs in the American Conference who would say all of a sudden now you're scrambling to get into one of those conferences or create a new division with some of the best FCS teams. I mean, that's a nightmare. But all that has settled the dust. Like you said, the TV contracts are in place. There's no incentive for anyone to do anything right now. There's no financial or heavy-handed type of situation. So this news about the Big 12, are you as unconcerned as I am about it as far as it affects BYU, or do you think this does maybe push the timetable back farther?
I think it's too early to tell, but I'm like you. I'm inclined to say no deal. You know, it's not a big deal. Someone else has to make a move, and then someone else makes a move, and then someone else makes a move, and then BYU is involved. BYU is going to be at the end of this. As proactive as BYU wants to be, they are pretty smart and calculated. That's the way the church works. That's the way BYU works. Of, okay, this happened. Let it happen, and then let's see how we react. When the Big East expansion happened with Boise State and San Diego State, BYU looked amazingly patient and awesome because they didn't go. And that conference, maybe it's too naive to think this, because BYU doesn't go, Boise State and San Diego State go, oh, we're going back. If BYU had gone, maybe they had stayed. I don't know. Maybe the Big East would still have football. Who knows? Maybe BYU caused that. Maybe not. But BYU is patient, and they're going to wait it out, and they're going to see what happens. And it's going to be a while. We're all anxious to get BYU to the Big 12. Yes, just get on the interest. Do we realize what that actually means? BYU might not make the NCAA tournament in basketball. BYU might not make a bowl game in football some years. Like, look at what it took for Utah to get to this season. There would be some serious growing pain. Complaints about an 8-5 season? How about a 5-7 season? Like, that could be a reality for a couple of years.
Yeah, how about a 5-7 season and home games against Baylor? You know, where
Baylor,
we're getting,
TCU, Kansas State, Oklahoma, Texas.
Yeah, I mean, you know, where Baylor's putting up, 65 points on our defense. I mean, I'm with you. I mean, I like the conference flow, but I'll tell you what I really like is being able to watch every BYU game.
It's a big deal. The fans outside of Utah have this unique perspective that being on ESPN is more important than playing for a conference title.
Yeah, for me it is. Now, if my brother Matt were here, he would disagree. He's a conference guy and would rather. Mm-hmm. But that being said, he and I have talked about this in the podcast ad nauseum. Neither of us are at all interested in any of the G5 conferences. I mean,
Some point we have to ask that question though. Does BYU need to go back? If a Power 5 invite, if expansion happens and BYU does not get invited, let's say 10 or 11 years, like the first
sure.
Says, BYU's going to have to ask that question. Maybe I bet they already have at some point. And should constantly.
Yes.
Should we go back to a group of five, either Mountain West or American? I don't see any other fit. American would be crazy travel. Like, women's tennis is going all the way to Connecticut to play tennis. You know what I mean?
Oh,
like, the cost of that, would that be worth it?
Yeah.
Do we have enough, do we have too much pride to ever go back to the Mountain West? I think that there is a lot of pride, and right now that would be a heck no, ever. That wouldn't be the worst thing in the world in my mind. But I don't want to do that now. I want to just wait. You always opted to get divorced, hang out and be single, and hope that a hot dude gets desperate.
Yes.
If that doesn't happen, BYU is going to marry some,
go back to
go
where
back
they were.
To, they're going to pull Marie Osmond and remarry the same person.
And have road games in Laramie. You know? What are you going to do?
No!
No, I know.
Could they do that in the contract? You know what? We're going to come back. We don't want to play a secret road game in Laramie.
Yeah. Can we just play a neutral site in someplace else? Neutral site in Provo. Anyway, well, Jerem, thanks for coming on. Good conversation as always. We will have you on again after the Avengers to be able to geekily discuss what we thought of said film. And then of course, also talk BYU sports, probably.
So it's in 3.5 weeks. Isn't that crazy?
Yes. Yes.
Basically it, 3 weeks tomorrow.
I know, and I still have to watch, with my daughter, I still have to watch Avengers and the rest of those Phase 2 movies. So I've got some movies to watch here in the next 3 weeks.
Oh, man, that's an excellent homework assignment.
It's actually been a lot of fun, especially watching it with an 8-year-old who is seeing the movies for the first time and is just, like, blown away by some of the things that I take for granted. So it's Loki's bad. It was great. Fantastic. So anyway, thanks, Jerem, for coming on, and we will, of course, talk to you again soon.
Always a privilege. Thanks, Adam.
Rise and Shout podcast, Matt. What's going on, dude?
Rise and Shout, baby.
So you may have or may not have watched some basketball this past weekend. I believe you did.
I watched a little bit of hoops.
Yeah, and between the Wisconsin-Kentucky game and the Wisconsin-Duke game, those were some good games.
Yes, there was good. There was good basketball to watch.
So what is your takeaway about how good Duke is? I mean, they're the national champion, right? But if that tournament is played 50 times, how many times do they win it?
Oh, maybe half?
No,
come on. Come on.
Close.
That's way
Kentucky
too good.
Might win it half if you played 50 times.
I'd say inside around 10% range.
Yeah, I mean, they're a very good team. They're not a good matchup for Wisconsin, as we found out.
Yeah. You know what? Wisconsin had that game.
They did. They could have won, certainly. They could have won. I was a little disappointed by how inconsistent the reffing was throughout all three games. Not that it mattered much in the Duke-Michigan State game, but It was just, it wasn't that it was lopsided one way or the other, though Wisconsin committed a lot of fouls in the second half, and they're typically not a team that commits a lot of fouls. But it was just kind of uneven. Like, charges weren't consistently called. There were a couple of really big missed plays, including Wisconsin's against Kentucky, right, where they
the two hit, points that they hit after the buzzer sounded,
yeah. And yeah, that was kind of weird. And then in that Duke game, there was a guy that, you know, in a key play where he stepped on the line, and they didn't see that.
There was another one where they went to replay to see if Okafor had tipped the ball, and he had, and yes. they still got it wrong,
even though the replay, all of America had decided Okafor had tipped the ball, except for those guys. Again, part of the problem with this is they're looking on this tiny TV, and I'm looking on a 55-inch HD TV,
right?
So I kind of feel the same way I felt with the NFL for years, which is it's not really close.
You've got to have somebody up in a booth with a real TV looking at this.
Yes, and I know they say the way they want to keep it with the guys on the field and or on the court. Who cares? I don't care.
Why?
I want to get it right.
Like, we don't want to hurt their feelings. I mean, I don't know what what's the big deal there.
I mean, it works well in college football. The guy in the booth reviews it and tells them what happened because he can actually see it. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So, anywho. Well, anyway, that's the final format. Upcoming on the podcast, we're going to talk BYU football, of course, and then we're going to preview baseball. Are you ready to preview baseball?
I think we should do some teams, all 162 of their games, win-loss, win-loss.
Hmm.
That would be riveting.
We should do that by each and every team.
Yes.
Okay, we'll do that. That's upcoming. Actually, that's not true, but... But we will talk a lot of baseball. We will talk a lot of baseball. So let's go to, where's my agenda here? What does the agenda tell me? Oh, the agenda tells me it's time for Cougars in the News.
Cougars in the News!
So Jordan Leslie had an impressive pro day, Matt, and at least one scout that was interviewed, I think this was on KSL, at least one scout thinks that Jordan Leslie may have gone from undrafted rookie free agent to a late round draft choice. We talked about his pro potential a couple of weeks ago on the podcast. Is his good showing at a pro day change your opinion on his ability to play in the NFL?
It doesn't change my opinion. I mean, it changes the opinion of some scouts, but I'm about where I was last time we talked about this. You know, I think he's got an opportunity to get on a roster and maybe make a contribution, certainly in a special teams type role. But I'm just glad the rest of the world's figuring that out.
Yeah, yeah. The scout mentioned on that piece on KSL.com about how there was a, you know, hope by some of the teams that were interested. They mentioned the Saints, for example. That they kind of looked at and said, well, you know, they were hoping he'd fly under the radar, but this now means that they may have to spend a draft choice on him.
Right.
So, I mean, there's going to be, you know, if you're the team that's hoping the guy flies under the radar, you're not as happy about his, you know, going through and impressing.
Yeah, no, you're not as happy about that.
No. No, you're not as happy as you might be. So they also talked about this, about some performance from Sky Pove, and not a guy I was thinking would play in the NFL, but this scout mentioned that some teams are looking at him as a Julian Edelman type wide receiver. Matt, do you see Pove playing in the NFL?
I don't.
Neither do I. I even after I read that, I was, and maybe he was miscast at BYU, right? Maybe he would have been a great wide receiver. I don't know, but I'm not holding my breath for him to be a NFL player next season.
Yeah, I don't see that. I don't see it happening that way. I don't even know what else to say to that. I mean, it's nothing personal or anything, but I mean,
he's certainly on the field as a safety. I don't think played to the spot where you'd think, yeah, he's going to play in at that next level.
Oh, definitely not.
But you never know. I mean, Julian Edelman has had a pretty nice career, and he was a quarterback at a small school, right? So sometimes guys blossom late and or miscast a little bit in college. So you never know.
You know, it happens. I guess you never know.
You never know. But I'm with you. I'm not holding my breath on that one. So Matt, here's once again. It's time to talk about conference expansion.
Oh, yeah.
So the news this week that's actually not news is that the NCAA is considering, starting in 2016, they could pass a rule that makes it so you do not have 12 teams to have a conference championship. Matt.
Shocker.
Shocker. But here's, Matt, is this even news and should BYU fans care?
It's not news, and right now it doesn't impact BYU as a team, unless you were sold on the fact that a rule other than that was going to force the Big 12 into expansion.
Yeah, I think a lot of BYU fans were under the false assumption that the Big 12 was going to be forced into an expansion by the rest of the conferences. If they decide to expand, this has always been true, and it's just as true today as it was 3 days ago. That's because they choose to expand. They're not getting forced into anything. They've made that very clear. This news does nothing. It's got some BYU fans, you know, lamenting we're never getting into a P5 conference now. I think our chances of getting into one has not changed at all because of this news. You know, if the Big 12 wants us, they know our number. And it won't be because of not or... or possibly having a conference championship game. You know, they got burnt when they were the actual Big 12, when they had 12 teams with some of their conference championships where they were poised to be in that championship game and then their team lost. You know, so it's a double-edged sword, those conference championship games. I know everyone's looking at 1 year and saying, oh my gosh, Big 12 got hammered because they didn't have one. They got hammered because they had poor out-of-conference schedules. Not because if TCU or Baylor has good out-of-conference schedules and win those games, one of them is playing for the national championship, or at least right in the national championship in the four. So to me, it's non-news, absolute non-news. So, of course, because of that, Matt, there have been a few rumors floating around about BYU being looked at by the Mountain West or the American Conference. Are you buying any of that smoke?
They can look all they want, but not available for purchase, my friend.
Yeah.
There's no scenario where BYU goes back to the Mountain West Conference or the WAC.
Oh, well,
there's not a scenario where that happens.
Not the WAC. The American, not the WAC. I mean.
Oh, right. But I still don't think there's a scenario where that happens.
Here's the scenario where it happens. It's called hell freezing over.
Did I just call the American Conference the WAC?
Yes,
I did. I said that they're the same thing.
I'm not editing that out. So it's called hell freezing over, Matt. I mean, they're not going back to the Mountain West Conference. And I know everyone says, well, you potentially can get into a New Year's Six bowl game. What you're doing is trading the chance that you're the top school out of all those G5 conferences, okay, to get into the New York Six Bowl. You're trading that for millions of dollars and terrible schedules. And yeah, especially if you're in the American, all of your road games are on the other side of the country.
I've already seen this movie. I've read this book, right?
Yeah.
We've been in that exact situation before.
Yeah. This is fans that, quite frankly, and I'm not trying to be insulting, but I'm going to probably be a little bit, this is fans that just quite don't understand what's actually going on. I mean, BYU, look at the schedules they've lined up. what incentive does BYU have to go backwards to potentially get into a New Year's Six Bowl that they have to split all that revenue with Wyoming?
Yeah, and given what they're making now?
I mean, just doesn't even make any sense. Doesn't make any sense. So we will move on from that to much better news, Matt. Ty Detmer is to be inducted into the Texas Sports Hall of Fame. And for his high school career, of course, where he was a record-breaking quarterback, then college career, where he was a Heisman-winning, record-breaking quarterback, and then a pro career where, of course, there wasn't quite that level of success, or not even really close to that level of success, but he did stick in the NFL and had some success there, and will be tomorrow. We're recording this on Wednesday night. I believe Thursday is when his induction will happen. Any favorite Ty Detmer moments or thoughts?
My image of Ty Detmer will always be of somebody with a big bloody bandage on their chin, half the size of everybody on the field, still running around making plays.
Yeah, my image is him throwing the ball and stunning the Miami Hurricanes.
Oh, that's awesome.
Won the Heisman. So, I mean, great news for him. He'll be a great addition to the Texas Sports Hall of Fame, which I assume, not knowing much about it, that there are a lot of great athletes, pro, college, and high school, that are already in there. So.
Yeah, probably a pretty safe assumption.
Yeah, it's a kind of a popular sports state. You may have heard that. So, Matt, let's move on to spring football. It has wrapped up here, and really not a whole lot of news since we re-recorded a week ago. But the depth chart is probably the most interesting thing that we've talked a little bit about but haven't gone in depth. So now that spring has been played, Matt, let's play a little depth chart. I was trying to come up with a catchy name for this game. Death chart.
The death chart.
How about depth chart bingo?
Depth chart bingo.
It's for the 55 and over crowd. All right. So at quarterback, Matt, Taysom Hill's the starter.
Uh-huh.
Who is your predicted backup?
Christian Stewart. Come on.
Well played, sir.
Hey, is Tanner Mangum back yet?
He will.
Yeah, that's Mangum, probably where I'm going to land.
Bo Hodge, McCoy Hill, Coy Detmer's son. Those are your options.
I like Bo Hodge. Looking at some of the tape there, I do like Bo Hodge. I'm thinking it's going to be Tanner Mangum.
I am going to make a prediction, and this is based almost purely off my interview with Brandon Gurney last week on the show, is Bo Hodge. Brandon brought up some good points about guys coming straight off missions and trying to play quarterback and how complex it is and just needing a year to get back into the flow of it, unlike, say, an offensive lineman or a defensive player. So, I'm going to go with Bo Hodge. The running back position, Matt's a little bit more complicated. I'll put it to you this way. Oh, a percent chance Jamal Williams is not healthy in your total guessitude of he is not healthy enough to play against Nebraska.
90%.
Really? That high?
Yeah.
Wow, I was going to go like 35.
No, I think that's a massive injury.
Yeah.
And if they feel good about other things that are going on, I think there's real possibility that they hold them out of that game.
Gosh, I don't think so. What do they feel good about? Like, who do you feel good about? Hine? He's hurt too.
Yeah, I don't know.
Algie Brown?
I don't know, but if he's not ready, you put him in game one and lose him the rest of the season?
Well, I'm not saying that he's not going to be ready. I'm just saying what you're saying, I don't get. I mean, it's just there's nothing. The depth at running back is terrible. We saw that last year. Williams goes down, and it's nothing against Hine and Algie Brown, because neither of them were. I mean, Hine wasn't healthy either, right? I'm going to say 35% chance he's not ready. Who do you think gets the most carries next year, Algie Brown, Carter, or Hine?
That's tough. If I had to pick right now, I think I would lean Algie Brown.
Okay. I would.
I'm crazy tonight. I'm saying crazy stuff.
You are saying crazy stuff, but that's not new. So at the wide receiver position, Matt, we talked a lot. We did a little over under with Kurtz and Matthews last week. So let's talk about a third wide receiver. If you were doing a fantasy league using BYU wide receivers, who would be your third choice behind Matthews and Kurtz?
Ooh. I feel like you get into a space there where you've got it's pretty tight calls in that point, right?
Agreed.
Where would you go?
Oh, look at you punting. I'm going to go with Blackman. I wouldn't be shocked though if it was Juergens.
I think I'm leaning Juergens.
Yeah, I would, but Blackman's my choice. I think in spring ball, whatever you can take from spring ball, which you can't get too excited about it sometimes, but I think you can say that Juergens, Blackman started to pop. Last year he seemed a little lost, and now he's got, you know, a full year in the program, and I think he's got those physical tools, but we shall see. Matt, at kicker, at punter, who knows? We're not even handicapping.
Yeah,
punter, they basically said that Broncos said throughout spring our punter is not on the team yet. So
yeah.
That's a good sign if you're one of those guys trying out for punter. So let's go over to the defensive side. I'm not going to go to every position, but I've got a couple I would be interested in discussing. So at middle linebacker, last week at loyalcougars.com, the depth chart has Heater as the starting middle linebacker ahead of Pulsifer, Kautai, and Lange. Matt, out of Kautai, Heater, it's Heater, right? Not Heater. Mm-hmm. Heater and Lange, which one of those three plays the most snaps next year?
Kautai.
I
like me some Kautai.
I'm going to go Lange.
And I think it's Longy. I think you say Longy.
You are correct. Longy. Yeah. I'm terrible at pronunciation. That's been well documented. Matt, percent chance that Fred Warner is the breakout star of next year's defense?
Well, I've been bad with the percentages so far tonight.
Yeah, there's no doubt of that.
I've struggled a little bit. I'm going to go with, I think...
117% is what
you really think so? No, I'm thinking more like 30.
Ridiculous.
20, somewhere between 25 and 30%. I think there's probably three or four players that could be that.
I was going to go with 20%. And we'll go to the next position. So let's talk about this two safety positions, Matt, on the depth chart. At loyalcougars.com, the starting safeties are, and I think this is accurate compared to what was stated, at least in spring football, is Takanaka and Nakua at the two safety spots. But Matt, there's one wrinkle in here, is that Nakua is destined to serve a suspension at the beginning of the year. How long that will be for his involvement in the Miami Beach brawl,
I don't know.
Yeah, he might have. He might have been caught on camera, doing something.
It seems indefinitive to me.
So give me your position. So out of the three, Takanaka, Nakua, and Badger, who has the best chance of having a breakout type of season out of
Nakua.
Those three? I'm going to say Takanaka, the transfer. Really? Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of buzz among the press and the coaching staff on him coming out of spring ball. But Nakua certainly is a tremendous athlete, right?
Yes.
When you're the backup safety and the backup quarterback, that's it says something about our quarterback depth last year, but it also says something about athletic ability. So I like your choice. I quite frankly think all three of them have a chance of doing it.
Yeah, I I like where we stand right now when you look at the depth chart in a couple of positions, and this is a prime example.
Yeah, I think they they could be quite good. Now let's go to the cornerback position, Matt. Right now it looks like it'll be Davis and Prater. Davis is a former wide receiver, has been, this will be his second full season being back on the defensive side of the ball. Prater is considered to be very talented. Matt, percent chance we're throwing things at the television sometime this season as teams throw over the top of us?
50.
I'd say 100%.
Oh, man.
100%. I hope I'm not being too there's not depth there either, right? If either of these guys go down, I don't know enough or feel confident enough about the guys behind them.
No, yeah, listen, if either of those guys go down, we're in trouble. And frankly, we may be in trouble anyway, right?
Yeah. They could be good, they could be mediocre, or that position could be a massive weakness. I just don't have a good feel for it today. So, Matt, Jerem and I will have talked about this as well, but we had a tweet bag question that I'd love to get your opinion on. So that's your cue.
Tweet bag.
So it is from Justin Sweeney.
Sweeney.
At Justin D. Sweeney on Twitter. He says, spring dilemma, O dominating the D equals super excited about powerful 15-0 or very nervous about suspect D. So, Matt, are you more excited about the offense or are you more worried about the defense based on their performances in spring camp?
I'm excited about the offense. I don't think there's any shame in a defense struggling against Taysom Hill, right?
Or quite frankly, against a nothing-to-lose Christian Stewart.
Right.
And some very good wide receivers. And basically everybody in the system already knows the system.
Yeah, I think offensively we should be pretty strong. So I'm glad that they're able to move the ball around a little bit against the defense.
But on a scale of 1 to 10, where 1 is it's the future best defense ever, and 10 being we are going to have to score 50 points a game, Matt, where are you on the defense?
7.4.
That was very precise. I'm in the 6 to 7 range.
I cut it off to just one decimal point.
I believe there will be some very ugly games against some of the better offenses we play in 2015.
There's going to be some shootouts. That's
yes,
for sure.
I think there will be some shootouts, and I don't feel great about. I mean, last year we had inability to rush the passer. I'm not sure put a lot of pressure on the quarterback. I'm not sure that problem's been solved yet. We'll see if schematically Bronco does something different. Putting Kafusi back with his hand on the ground, I think will help us. But, man, there could be some 47 to 42 type of games in our future. And I think, I think we need a top 50 defense, top 40 defense. It becomes a special season if it's a top 25 defense.
Oh, I agree with that. Yeah,
And maybe the potential's there. I would not bet on that type of defense. So Matt, let's move on to baseball. So if you hate baseball, which means you also hate America, you can turn off the podcast now. If you hate America, so we'll wait for those that hate America to hit pause or stop on their podcast player of choice. And then we'll go back to loving America, Matt. So let's start. We're going to pick all the division winners and then wild card teams. And now, of course, there's like 8 wild card teams per league. That's not actually true. Let's start in the American League East, Matt. The projections have it as a very tight 3-way team race between the Orioles, Red Sox, and Blue Jays. Who do you see out of that threesome? Or are you picking maybe the Yankees and basically Satan or the Rays?
I'm definitely not picking the Rays or the Yankees. I like the Orioles, though.
Ugh.
I mean, I don't like the Orioles, but I'm saying
you like
that,
them to win the division.
I like their chances.
Yeah, I think the Orioles and the Red Sox will be battling towards the end, but I am going to be a total homer and pick the Red Sox.
Of course you are.
Based on basically their opening day, they hit like 25 home runs. So I'm going to say the Red Sox as a team this year will hit like 700 home runs.
I'm just saying that as of right now, they're half a game back.
The Red Sox are?
Sure.
Yeah, because the Orioles have played one more game.
Well, you know, it's a game of percentages.
All right. So the Central, Matt, projections have the Indians and Tigers seem to be the teams to choose. Are you picking one of those, or are you going to go back with the American League defending champion Kansas City Royals, or are you going to show you absolutely know nothing about baseball by picking the Twins?
I'm taking the Tigers.
Oh, you're taking the Tigers. I'm actually going to take the ball club from Cleveland.
Yeah, what's interesting is that neither of us are taking the Royals.
No, I feel like the Royals were a fluke.
Yeah, I feel like their time has passed.
Yes, and they lost Shields, and I hope I'm wrong because it's a great baseball town, and I like a lot of their players are fun to watch, but I kind of feel like they're going to kind of come crashing back down to earth on this one. That's just kind of my feeling, Matt. So Matt, tell me, in the American League West, you got somebody that you like?
I don't know. The American League West gets a little trickier, right?
Right.
Maybe the Angels. I mean, I don't even know. Looking at the AL West, I'll tell you, it's not going to be the Astros, right? So you can eliminate that.
Yes, it's not going to be the Astros. I like the Mariners. They're kind of the popular pick right now. So I'm gonna pick the Mariners, but I don't feel like awesome about it.
Yeah, that's going to be a tight division, I think.
Yeah. So you never picked anyone.
Yeah, I did.
Who'd you pick? The Angels.
The Angels.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's a good pick, but
I actually think the Astros will be better this year.
Yeah. Well. There's only one way up from the bottom.
Yes, there is only one way up. So Matt, who are your two wild card teams? Because you had the Orioles, Tigers, and Angels. Who are your two wild card teams?
The Red Sox and the Indians.
Red Sox and the Indians. I of course picked the Red Sox, the Indians, and the Mariners. My wild card picks are the Angels and the Orioles.
Isn't that funny? We got all the same teams. No, that's not true. Because you took the Mariners and I took the Angels.
Yeah, yeah. Right. So Matt, who's your American League champion?
Boston Red Sox. There you go. How'd I do? Did I get it right?
Nice. That's nice. I there's no right answer. There's just a lot of wrong ones.
Oh, I really think it's probably the Tigers.
I'm actually going to pick the Indians, Cleveland, as my American League champion.
So we both think that the champion's coming out of the AL Central.
Yes, and I think both those teams make the playoffs. Both of us predicted that. Matt, American League MVP, you got a choice for the MVP?
I've not landed on an MVP yet. I feel like it's a little early. I'm hoping it's somebody on my fantasy team.
Of course it's early. It's our prediction show. I'm going with Mike Trout. I'm picking Mike Trout over the field.
Wow.
He's the best player in baseball.
Wow. Over the field?
I'm picking him over the field. That's what you heard me. You heard me.
That's
crazy. I said it. I stand by it.
That's insanity.
I love watching him play. I've got the MLB.tv, you know, and I flip to the Angels. I look at the box score on my phone, and if he's coming up to bat, I switch. It's must see TV.
Really?
Oh, for me it is. I mean, he can do something amazing at every at bat, and in the field too. I mean, he's a tremendous player, and there are other players that I keep an eye on. Miguel Cabrera, I like watching. I like, Buster Posey, and of course the Red Sox. I'm always watching them, and Bryce Harper is actually on my list. He's an exciting player. You may have heard of him.
Name sounds familiar.
Yeah. Let's go to the National League, Matt. Oh, we didn't say Cy Young. Do you have a Cy Young pick in the American League?
I don't.
Gosh, you were just wimping out on these.
I'm wimping out on the on the award predictions. That
yeah, it's kind of hard to pick. It is kind of hard to pick. I am going to pick.
The field is giant, right? Not all of us are as confident as you are taking Mike Trout against the field. Though I do think Mike Trout is a decent choice.
I'm going to take King Felix leading the Mariners to an AL West crown. He's also on my fantasy team, so I'm, of course, hoping he does very well. Let's go to the National League, Matt. In the East, I have to assume you're taking the Nationals, and we don't need to talk much more about it.
Probably a safe pick.
Yes, I agree with you. I don't think I think it's possible they may be the only team in the division with a winning record. I don't know if that's mathematically possible, but it feels right. The Central, Matt, it's the Pirates and the Cards, both good teams. Are you taking the upstart Cubs?
I'm not taking the upstart Cubs. I'm leaning Cards.
I'm leaning Pirates, but I think they are both excellent teams. In the West, Matt, it's basically the Dodgers and Padres trying to outdo each other in spending money and collecting mediocre ballplayers. Are you picking one of them, or do you have the reigning champion San Francisco Giants?
I'm taking the Padres.
You're taking the Padres, as am I. I was kind of
Los Padres.
I was kind of hoping I'd go. I do not like the Dodgers. I think even though they are predicted by many to win, I think that team is a future train wreck. Though Yasiel Puig is fun to watch. I do like to watch Puig. He had a laser throw on opening day. I don't know if you saw that highlight, but he's either going to throw you out at third base or it's going to be in the third row. So your two wildcard teams, Matt.
I'm taking Pittsburgh and San Francisco.
I am also taking Pittsburgh and San Francisco. It's like we planned this.
That's a little weird. I'm a little weirded out.
It is a little weird. I don't like the Dodgers to make the playoffs. Who you got as your coming out as your champ?
Oh, the league? Come on.
Yeah. The Nationals, of course.
Yeah, it's the Nats, baby.
I am actually going with the Pittsburgh Pirates. So that is right. I am predicting a World Series of the Pittsburgh Pirates and the Cleveland Indians. One fan base will be forever grateful for the World Series, and the other will see it as a sign that God still hates them. But I like it. I mean, if the Red Sox can't be in, I think that would be a fun one. No, you think that would be? I mean, you won't, because you want your Nats to get in there, but I think that would be a fun one, and one of the least watched World Series in television history. But yeah. I'd watch it.
Well, yeah, you'd watch any two teams, right?
That is true. You could pick any two teams out of here. I'm going to watch all seven games.
Yep.
I plan my work travel schedule basically to avoid traveling on during the MLB playoffs.
It's important.
Now, granted, this is the guy that missed a Patriots Super Bowl win because of a work trip. So, what do I know?
Well, at least you can talk about it now. So that's like the first step to recovery.
I assume your NL MVP is somebody on the Nationals.
Well, actually, you know what? I'm gonna branch out a little bit.
Okay.
And I'm gonna actually make picks on this side. Yeah.
What got a hold of you?
I like Andrew McCutchen.
That's a nice choice. I like that choice. I like Buster Posey.
Buster Posey's a good choice.
Andrew McCutchen's a high quality choice. How about your Cy Young Award winner?
David Price.
David Price, huh? Wait a second. Doesn't he pitch for the Tigers?
Yeah, I messed that one up.
You mean for your American League pick?
Yeah, I got to an American League pick. There you go. It's David Price. Are you happy with that one?
I was like, David Price. That, wait a second. So, who do you got? You go with Strasburg, your new guy Scherzer.
I am going to be a homer on this one, but I'm going to stick with Jordan Zimmermann.
Jordan Zimmermann, huh?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Saw some highlights the other day of his no hitter. Got me excited.
Yeah, I'm going to go with – I would definitely take the field in either of these, by the way. Not as confident as I am in Senior Trout. But I would actually go with my National League. I like Strasburg. I think this is his year where everything comes together. I'm not trying to jinx your guy. But everything comes together. He stays healthy, and he's going to be pitching for a first-place team that's favored to win the World Series. So – I like it. And the pressure will be off him. He's not, I mean, he's now like the third starter, right? But behind Zimmerman and Scherzer. So, like, now the pressure's off him. He doesn't have to be the guy. And that contract, you know, it's coming up. Is he a free agent at the end of the year or 2 years?
I think he's got two. But don't quote me on that. I need to look it up.
He needs, you know, he needs that big year, Matt. So so on a scale of 1 to 10, where 1 means you're a communist and 10 means you're super excited, how are you excited? How much are you excited for this opening week of baseball?
Oh.
25?
A gazillion.
Yeah, me too, a gazillion.
It's been, I was walking around the office on Monday. I was like, why, how are any of us concentrating on work right now? It's opening day.
Why are any of us here?
I can see when they open the roof at Minute Maid, I can see into the stadium.
You can?
Yeah.
From your office?
Yeah.
Wow.
I can't see much of the field, but I can see the stands and I can see the Jumbotron video board.
No joke.
Yep.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it is pretty awesome. Pretty distracting.
So were they, I didn't even look. Were they at home that day?
They were at home, but they didn't start till 6. So I only caught some early parts of
opening day night games. That's terrible.
That's what they did. But you know, as I was watching the stadium start to fill up, I was like, you know what? Instead of going home, I may just go over to the ballpark.
Yeah, but you didn't.
No, I had a commitment. I needed to get home.
Yeah,
it was watching the NCAA final.
Yeah, and that's why you don't want a night game that night.
It's still the Astros.
Yeah, and it is still the Astros. I am attending on Monday the Minnesota Twins home opener.
There you go.
So, and it's actually not going to be snowing or below freezing. So that's a plus. It's actually supposed to be like 65 and sunny, so it'll be a nice day for a ball game, Matt. Oh, it's great. It feels way too long. It's like 80-something days before BYU Media Day for football, and that seems like a long time from now. But we have baseball to fill our souls.
Yes, it will. And fill our souls it will indeed.
Yes, it will. So, well, Matt, anything you want to share before we sign off for this week's podcast?
No, I'm pretty much tapped out. I mean, we did spring football. We did a little bit of everything here.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, we did. So anyway, we will likely be back. We might take next week off. We shall see. But we will likely be back next week to talk a little bit of off-season BYU sports, a little bit about the first week of the professional baseball season. And who knows what else, Matt, whatever comes to our fancy.
Yeah, we'll probably talk about the outcome of our fantasy baseball matchup.
Yes, which will, of course, be me trouncing you because your draft was terrible.
Hey, listen, my draft was indeed very mediocre. But yes, I still feel pretty good about my pitching staff.
Yeah, they're pretty good. So anyway, thanks, of course, for downloading and listening. If you like the show, go to iTunes, give us a nice rating. And if you would like to communicate with us, you can tweet at us at BYU_RiseShout on Twitter. And of course, always download and listen. We're thankful for that. And we will catch you next time.
Go Cougars!